I tell you, brothers, God is so good. You know that? God is so good. You know, I was singing that song. I was thinking about the morning that I met my blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And how He reached out and saved me by His grace and changed me. You know, I was like so many people in our nation today. Where I lived at, there was at least 5 churches. But I had never, no one ever come up and knocked on the door of my home and told me about Jesus. Brothers, as men and women who God has called to the ministry, we need to have a burden for people. We need to have a love for people because the Lord Jesus Christ, He went to the cross for our sins and for their sins and for the sins of the world. And He bore that and He died for them. But you know, on March 10th, 1989, while traveling down Interstate 40 in an 18-wheeler, listening to Christian radio, thank God for Christian radio, I heard the old story of how the Savior came from glory and how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. And I didn't even miss a beat. I called out to Him and He reached down. You know, I wasn't a bad person. But there was addictions in my life, struggles and heartaches, and there was the emptiness. But that morning when I met Jesus face to face, He set me free. He set me free, and today He's still in the saving business. He can save people, brothers and sisters. And if we believe that, which I do, and I know you do too, we should take the message of the gospel to those people who are lost and who knew Christ as their Savior. We need to do that. That's the Great Commission. That's the Great Commission, brothers and sisters. We need to be about the Father's business because Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. You know, I was just thinking, I wish my wife would walk in the door. I was hoping she'd be here because she is 39 and a half weeks. 40 weeks is term. And Dr. Patterson, it does look like she's going to have triplets, but she's not. I've seen the ultrasound. I know it's not going to be triplets. It's going to be a little boy. His name's going to be Caleb. And Michelle and I, we've been praying for this child, that God would use this child, that He would raise him up, and that He would use him to win millions of souls to Jesus Christ. And that he would not compromise, that he would be a man of God, that he would be so totally consumed with the call of God in his life and loving God and being totally sold out to God, that he would be like Hananiah and Azariah and Mishael, not willing to bow, but willing to burn, to go down. Because as Jesus, as Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. This morning as I've prayed and I sought the face of God, as we get ready to finish this semester, some of us are going to be graduating. I'm going to be graduating. And may I say to you, when I came here, when I quit my job and burnt my bridges, and when I gave up my CDL driver's license, quit driving a truck, I didn't know how in the world God was going to provide. But I stand before you today, and you can look at me. Do I look like that I'm a man that has anything in need? Do I? God has been faithful, brothers and sisters. And I know you that you're somebody here today who you are struggling financially. You're struggling in different areas of your life. And I believe that God has a message for you today. And I pray that you would just hear and listen to what the Word of God says. Turn your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Verses 4 through 10. You know, this semester, this whole year, last semester, the fall semester, and the spring semester, if I had studied the prophets under Dr. Gagliotti, and as I have read about these men's lives, and their commitment to the Lord God, I have been convicted in my heart, in my soul, because I realize, brothers and sisters, may I say to you, that I do not even come close to the walk and to the surrender and to the covenant love that they have for the Lord God, more or less walking nigh even unto Jesus Christ. But I pray that I would have that passion that these men had. The burden and the boldness and the zeal and the enthusiasm that motivated them to say, we're not going to compromise, but we're going to preach and proclaim the Word of God. Because literally millions of souls hang in the balance of our faithfulness to God. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Then of the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have set thee this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, and also to build and to plant. Will you pray with me, brethren and sisters? Father God, Lord, you're so good. Lord, we are so unworthy. Father, help us. Help me, Father God, to be faithful to you and to the Word of God. And I pray for my brothers and sisters. Lord, I know there are many of them here, Lord, who are struggling here at the end of the semester. I've been there. I know what it's like. Bless them with grace and strength. But most of all, Lord, help them never to lose the focus of what you have called us to do. And we love you and praise you now for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all have to excuse me. I get kind of emotional sometimes. That's all right. First thing I want you to see this morning is the call of God in this man's life. Look at me, verses 4 through 6. He says, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. And he said, before I formed thee, I knew thee. And I ordained thee as a prophet to the nations. As I look at this, I see the sovereignty of God at work in this man's life. How that he had called him, he had set him aside before this world was ever made to be a prophet, to go forth and proclaim the word of God to nations and to peoples and to kingdoms of his day. You see, God raised Jeremiah up in an appropriate time to call the people back to repentance to God. He raised up such a man as he was at the very exact right moment in time. The sovereignty of God. In Psalm 50:71, the psalmist says, for thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I hidden, by thee have I been holding up from my womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually to thee. Brothers and sisters, can I say to you this morning that it is the sovereign will of God that he has placed upon your life, that he has called you into the ministry. Because you see, I'm not here by no accident. You're not here by no accident. It is God who has called you. He is the one who has ordained you. He is the one who has empowered you to do the work of ministry that he has called you to do. To preach and proclaim the word of God. Paul said in Galatians 1, verses 15 and 16, he says, but when it pleased God, I like that, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. We've been called by God's grace into the ministry. It's not of our accord. It's not because of our abilities. I'm going to speak about that in a moment. To reveal his son in me that I might preach among the heathen. Immediately I conferred, not with flesh and blood. God has called us, brothers and sisters. Sovereignly laid his hand upon you. Ordained you to preach and to proclaim the word of God. Not only do I see the sovereignty here also, but I see the call is personal. He said, Jeremiah, I called you. I called you, and I called you. I didn't call him. I called you, Jeremiah. Can I say to you today, brother and sister, God has called you, and he has called you to preach and to proclaim the word of God. He knows you intimately and personally. He has called you. It's no accident that I'm at Burton Memorial Baptist Church. You know what? I never did even send these people a resume. God laid upon their heart through word of mouth for them to call me. I know that it's not an accident that they called me. And wherever God has placed you in your life, God has placed you there because God knows you personally. He knows you better than you know your own self. So when we come to the ministries in our lives, we shouldn't fight against God. We should be surrendered to where God places us at in our lives. Recently, I was talking to a friend of mine from Charleston, South Carolina. And in his association, there's a young man who just has graduated from seminary. He said he was talking to this young man, and the young man says, "Well, this church, they want me to come and to be their pastor. And in my heart, I believe this is where God wants me to be. But you see, they don't pay enough money. They don't pay enough money." You know what? I have a problem with that. I do. Because when Burton Memorial offered me the package, when I looked at that bottom line and seen what my salary was, I could have rationalized and said about my reasons, this ain't enough money for me to live off of. But God has not called us to live by our reasons and by our feelings. He has called us to live by faith. Called us to live by faith, brothers and sisters. And God will provide. Who? God, He has placed us. He has called us personally. And for you here today who you're not in a place, a position of pastoring or whatever God has called you to do, God has a place for you. He has a place for you. In His sovereign will, He's going to put you somewhere where He knows that your personality and your ideas and your separation and your righteous life, where you're going to have an impact upon people for Jesus Christ. You see, I don't think, it's no accident that God put me there at Burton Memorial. Here we have between 30 and 40 youth on Wednesday night. Let me say this, young people and youth. And I baptized one on Sunday night. But I have a burden for those youth. Our youth leaders have a burden for those youth because many of our youth leaders, they never went to church when they were young. And we're teaching them the Word of God. We're teaching them about Daniel and about Ezekiel and about Amos and about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? They're eating it up. They love it because their souls are not getting fed at school and their souls not being fed on MPV. They come to school, they come to church to be fed the Word of God. And the second thing I see here is, the third thing is, not only the sovereignty of God in His life, the call is personal, but also it's not according to our abilities. Look what Jeremiah says. He said, "Oh, Lord God, I cannot speak." Lord, I can't speak. Lord, you know I'm shy and I'm bashful. Backwards, unlearned, ignorant. You remember Moses in Exodus chapter 4. He had that same problem. He said, "Lord, I'm not eloquent." But God said, "Who has made thy mouth? Who is the one who has created you?" God said, "If you will be obedient to what I have called you to do, I will be the ones who will put the words in your mouth that you need to speak." It's not according to our abilities, brothers and sisters. It's according to God calling us, God working in and through our lives. God is the one, and the center and the focus of our ministry should be upon Him and upon who He is, not on who we are. God's good. Not abilities. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, last night I found this verse and it just blessed my heart. You ever just find a verse in the Word of God and it just blesses your heart? He says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Our sufficiency is of God. He is the one who has called us. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, he says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth him." God gives the abilities. God doesn't see anything of us. Then he says, "For this reason, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ." I like that. That Jesus may be glorified. Because when we put the spotlight upon Him, and we recognize who He is, and He is the one that has called us, you know what? That takes a lot of pressure off of your life. I admit that when God called me to preach, I ran. I didn't want to be a preacher. And I remember I was in Youngstown, Ohio on a mission trip. It was on a Thursday afternoon. We was getting ready to leave on Friday. It was in August and it was hot. And I was upstairs. It was about 10 o'clock at night. And I got down on my face there beside that little bed in Youngstown, Ohio. And I said, Lord God, if you call me to preach, if you can just use me some way, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. And I went back home. And that Sunday, I was talking to my pastor, and he said, Richard, he said, I got something I want you to do for me. I said, I'll do anything I can for you, Pastor Cruz. He said, I want you to preach next Sunday. He said, I know God has called you. Why do you keep on running from him for? He's going to use you. You know what? You know who I was looking at? I was looking at myself. Let's take our eyes off of ourselves and look to him, because he is the one who enables us. He is the one who gives us the abilities to go forward. The second thing I see here is not only the call of God in Jeremiah's life and our lives, but also the command of God. The command of God. Look at verse 7. He says, but the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child. That is, I'm not going to accept your excuses. For thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and thou shalt say whatever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Thou shalt go to all that I send thee. If you read over in verses 18 and 19 of this same passage, he says, behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar, and a brazen wall against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, the priests thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. These were the people that God had sent Jeremiah to go and to preach and proclaim repentance to. Was to the kings, was to the dignitaries, to the priests, and to the people to go. As I said earlier, our God, Jesus said in Matthew 28, go into all the nations and preach the gospel. How serious do we take that command to go and to share with people? How serious do we take the command to go to our neighbors, our very next door neighbors, who we live beside of? Have we ever invited them to come to church? Have we ever invited them to come to a Bible study? If we don't do missions in our own backyards, how can we send missionaries to Africa? We're being hypocrites. We need to evangelize, to do the work of evangelists right there in our own community, yea, even on our own back doorsteps, to win people to Christ. Thou shalt go to all that I command thee. And you know what? I've experienced in my own life. God lays somebody upon your heart, and you have a burden for that person, but you say, God, if I go to that person, if I share the gospel with them or talk to them about Christ, they're going to spit me, they're going to chew me up and spit me out. But you know what? God don't accept our excuses. And even as God told Ezekiel to be a watchman, Ezekiel, go and share the message of repentance with those people. Ezekiel, if you don't go and share it, I will require your blood at their hands. But if you go, and if they do not heed the message, then you will be bloodless. You will not be guilty. How many of us are going to stand someday before Christ, and we won't give an account, and we're going to have blood upon our hands because of people, because we have not taken the Great Commission and gone to share the gospel with people who God lays upon our hearts. You know what? I truly believe this, that if we will pray and seek the face of God every day, that God will bring someone into your life every day who you can talk with about Jesus Christ. I've experienced it in my own life, and I know that it is true. But he says for him to go. The command that he is to go. And also he says, whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Whatever I command thee, thou shalt speak. He didn't say for you to tell little idle tales and to scratch people's backs and to tickle their ears. He said for them to share the word of God, the call to repentance, to choose life and not to choose death. In Deuteronomy 18:18. He says, I will raise among them a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him. Speak unto them all that I command them. Put the word of God in the mouth and proclaim the word. Proclaim the word of God with boldness, with zeal, with enthusiasm. And don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We only have one message. And that's the message of Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and risen again. And he's coming back. In Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, I tell you what, when I was studying this, in verse 7 he says, "And thou shalt speak my words unto them. Thou shalt speak the word of God unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious people." God has called us to be faithful to preach and to proclaim the word of God. Not to compromise. Not to compromise. You know, when people look at our lives, I truly believe they would rather for you to see you to be totally sold out, surrendered to the Lord, than to live a life of compromise. I truly believe that. I would rather for a person to be well there or well here than to know not where they stand trying to straddle the fence. And that's the same thing with the preaching of the word of God. Just preach the word in season, out season. Proclaim the word of God. That's one of the problems that I have found at the church where I'm now serving at. Their previous pastor, bless his heart, I love Brother Wayne. But there were so many things that he did not teach these people. We had a deacon's meeting Sunday night, and I was talking to the deacons, and they said, "Richard, before you became our pastor, we never heard about a life of surrender, a life that is surrendered to Christ. We never heard the word obedience. We never heard the word judgment." He said, "We heard a lot about grace and love. But my church and your church and the churches you want to serve at need to be taught the word of God." That's what they need to hear. They need to be taught the word of God. I'm going through Amos on Sunday nights. I tell you what, the people are just lapping it up. They love it. I mean, here one of the great, you know what it's about, the judgment upon the nation of Israel, and these people are eating it up. And they're being motivated to study it and to gain a better understanding of what God is saying to them and to the people. First of all, the call of God. Second thing is the command of God. And I love this, the comfort of God. The comfort of God. He says in verse 8, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. As you read Jeremiah's life, even his own family turned and hated him. They ridiculed him. "Do away with this man. We don't have to have this man proclaim any more words to us." But Jeremiah, "You be faithful. You proclaim, and I will be with you. I will be your comfort, and I will be your assurance, and I will keep you. You may have to go through. You may have to be martyred, but God says, I will be with you. I will be with you." In Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, he says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." I'm going to be with you. No matter what happens to you in your ministry, in your life, I will be with you. And may I say to you this morning, if you're in ministry and if you have not come across problems with your deacons or with your WMU leaders, or people or Sunday school teachers in your church, it's coming. It is coming. I promise you it will come. Because I have run into so many problems of people in our church. But you know what? Somehow God has worked through it to bring out good for it. And glory and honor to his name. He always does that. And then verse 9 he says, "Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." God is our comfort. He is the one who consoles us. He is the one who gives us the peace of God that passes all understanding in our lives. He is the one who is with us. Praise the Lord. Because you are going to go through hard times. I know I'm not the first one to say that, but I'm just telling you. I've been there. And I know there's some more bumpy roads ahead for me in my ministry. But praise God, Jesus is with me. Jesus is with me. The comfort of God. And then lastly, let's look at the commission of this man. The commission of this man in verse 10. He says, "See, this day I have set thee over nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build and to plant. First of all, let's look at the reach of his ministry. He said, I have set thee over nations and over kingdoms. Jeremiah, when you proclaim the word of God, it is going to have a vast influence, impact upon people's lives. The reach of the ministry. And may I say to you, brothers, I was thinking about this today when I was coming to school. There's some of you here who God is raising up, and you will have vast, you will have great influence upon individuals. But there will be some of us who will be back in the woods. But no matter where God places you in our life, or where he places me in our life, we are to be faithful to the call of God in our lives. Because it's not the amount of people that you serve. It's your faithfulness to the ones that you do serve. That's one thing that I have learned this year more than anything else, is that of servanthood. I've not arrived there yet. But I want to be a servant to my people. I want to be a servant to my wife and to my son. And I want to be a servant to my deacons. Because as I model the role of servanthood before them, they will see it. They will see it. And they will understand that true freedom only comes through being a servant to other people. Jesus is that example. Second thing is the results of preaching the word. He says to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down. There is spiritual wickedness. And the word of God is like a quick two-edged sword. And when we preach and proclaim the word of God with boldness and zeal, God is able to tear down strongholds in people's lives. Most people, they're in bondage to something in their lives. It may be pornography. It may be drugs. It may be alcohol. I'm talking about people in your own church, the places where you serve at. But it is only as you preach the word of God, and as they shall know the truth, and the truth shall make them free, that they will be liberated. They will be set free. And as they are set free, they will be able to serve God with a greater capacity and with joy that is unspeakable. And also, he says, not only to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, but also to build and to plant. To build and to plant. To edify, to strengthen, to encourage, to call the people to repentance, to call them to a greater accountability before the Lord. To build up and to plant. Brothers and sisters, if I had one thing I need to say this morning to you, I would say this. Be faithful to God. No matter where he leads you to in his life, be faithful to him. There are going to come times, struggles in your life, hardships and difficulties. But I believe with this with all my heart, that if there is a time in your life when you say, I know without a shadow of doubt that God has placed his hand upon me, that God has called me into the ministry, that he is the one who has sanctified me, he is the one who has set me apart, he is the one who I have a personal, intimate relationship with him, you can look back on that, and it will give you grace and strength to go forward in your walk with God. It will give you grace and strength. God is good. God is so good. So this morning, just remember the call. Remember the command to preach and to proclaim, to go where he says, and to speak the word of God with boldness. Never be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Never be ashamed of it. Also, the comfort of knowing that his presence is with us. And also, the commission to go, to do the work of the Lord. Think about the greatest prophet that has ever lived, the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about how that before the worlds were ever created, how that he was foreordained to be the Lamb of God slain before the foundations of the world. And how that he came at the exact moment of time to this world. And how that God raised him up. And how that Jesus preached, proclaimed. Did Jesus preach a message of compromise? I think about Matthew 23 where he goes to the Pharisees and to the hypocrites. And he gets in their face. Love and compassion, true. But yet, out of concern for them, and truthfulness and honesty, and say, you're a hypocrite. Jesus did not back down. Jesus did not compromise. He set his face like a flint to the cross. And he went all the way. Brothers and sisters, when I look back on in 20 years, and when I wonder where you were at then, will you be found faithful? Will you be in the ministry serving and walking with God? Will you be with your wife and teaching and edifying and building up your children and your grandchildren? Will you be faithful to God? I know that there is many of the statistics say that at least 25% of those who graduate from seminary in 5 to 10 years, they won't be in the ministry no more. Don't let that happen to you. Be faithful to the call of God in your life. Think about what it cost Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we praise you, Father, for your goodness. And Lord, you're so worthy. Lord, we're so unworthy. Lord, I pray that you would help me, Father, and also my brothers and sisters in Christ who are here today, Father, as we're gathered, to be faithful, Lord, to the call that you have placed upon their lives. Lord, help us, Lord, in these end times, Lord, to be diligent, Lord, of what you've called us to do, that we may be found, Lord, laboring for you until you come. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.